Everything I need is in him. Before I start the message this morning, I am a Christian Mission Alliance, so I believe in divine healing and divine touch. And I believe every time that people of God get together, that we should be able to say, Lord, I need a physical touch from you. I need a financial touch from you. I need emotional touch from you. And sometimes we don't get that opportunity. You know, the pastor's preaching on something or other, but we're here like, I need a touch from the Lord, because everything that we need is in who? In Christ. So if you'd like for the Lord to touch you, I'd like just to stand, because Jesus was walking, and there was a woman that reached out and touched him. And by standing, we're just saying, Lord, we're going to reach out and touch the hem of your garment. We want you to touch me. We want you to heal me. And you know, she did it in a crowd, but nobody could. And no, I know it's kind of scary to stand up in front of everybody, but I'm not Jesus. But I would like Jesus to walk around, walk through these rooms, and that you just reach out and say, Lord, I need a touch. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus, who loves us. Jesus, who died on the cross for us. Jesus, who took whips on his back for our healing. Lord, he could have called 10,000 angels and said, this is for the birds. I want out of here. But Jesus loved me so much, he stayed. Jesus loved us so much, he stayed. So, Father, we just ask that the stripes on Jesus' back would not be in vain for our physical needs today, our emotional needs today, Lord, our financial needs today. Lord, I pray that we would just reach out. Lord, some of us are, without a touch, we're done. So, Father, we ask that Jesus would touch us. We're grabbing a hold of his cloak. In fact, we're yanking on it, saying, Lord, pay attention. We need a touch from you. So in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last time I was here, it was just before Valentine's Day, and we talked about relationships. So if you haven't seen the message, it was called Before Eve, right? Before Eve, God gave Adam certain things. He gave him a place, right? He took him out of and put him in the garden. He gave him a purpose. Hey, I have work for you to do. He gave him provisions and says, hey, you may eat from every tree in the garden. I give you all this to eat. He provides where he calls. And last but not least, he set up boundaries. Hey, you can eat from every tree, but not this one. He put boundaries around us. Boundaries for our safety and our protection. And so before Eve, God gave Adam certain things. That was last week. Then God put Adam and Eve together, right? My mind just went blank. I'm thinking of the children. Then came Abel in the baby carriage, right? I don't know. My mind just went blank. I should have had it all down. But you know, Adam sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First love, then comes marriage, then comes Cain and Abel in a baby carriage, right? I know it. You know, but have you thought about that whole God putting a family together. How crazy it is. You know, I was thinking that when Cain was born, how incredibly happy Eve must have been, holding this little child just like any mother has held their baby and their hearts are pumping. But you know that the weird thing about Eve? Eve had no idea what it was like to be two, no idea what it was like to be three. She had no idea what it was like to be 10, and had no idea what it was like to have teenagers. Think about that, right? And she couldn't go and call mom. Hey, mom, what do I do with this? Cain and Abel, they're fighting again. They're hitting each other again. Oh, my goodness, have you seen what they're doing? This is crazy. They're throwing pine cones at each other. They're picking up oranges and splashing each other. They're fighting all the time. What do I do? Mom! Oh, what? No. No mom to call to. Have you thought about that? Oh, no, You guys just have this crazy pastor that comes and you see, the word is alive. You know, when we think of the Bible, we think of, you know, the Bible is everything going perfect. Have you read this stinking Bible? Nothing goes well in the Bible. It's real life. If I was writing the Bible, it'd be like the movies. Everything turns out all right and cool all the time. It doesn't happen in my Bible. Have you read your Bible? I mean, it happens back in Revelations. But there's a lot of junk and life that happens between Genesis and Revelations that's just hard stuff. And today I'm talking about some really hard stuff. I'm not even going to go to the hard stuff today. You're going to read it, and I'm going to skip over it because, you know, I don't like murder. But it's there. So you have Cain and Abel being raised by Adam and Eve, who have no clue what it's like to be a teenager, have no clue what it's like to be a baby, have no clue what it's like. They just, God made them adults. Pretty cool. I wish, you know, wouldn't that be cool if you could skip all that growing up stuff and just, hey, I'm an adult with God-given heart and mind and soul. But Cain and Abel didn't have that. Neither did Adam and Eve have the wisdom of a mom and dad that has done it before. Now, they got to walk with God in the cool of the evening. That's pretty cool. But life is life, isn't it? Well, today we're gonna look at competing for God's affection. You say, that doesn't sound good. No, it doesn't. But I think every one of us have been in there. You know, hey, God, I'm here. Do you see me? God, do you see me? Hey, life is going terrible. Do you see me? Hey, God, are you there? Do you care? We're going to look at that. We're going to look at what true worship really is today. And I'm preaching at myself. You know, every time I show up here, I get a spanking. I'm going to stop coming because, you know. But, you know, the Lord is so faithful that he kind of shows us things about ourselves and about what he's doing in our heart and our mind. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. We're starting reading at verse 2b. So let's stand for the reading of God's word. Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 2 in the middle. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought the fat portions of some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry. His face was downcast. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother, let's go to the field, out in the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Then the Lord said, what have you done? Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground, and now you are under a curse, driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you work the ground, it will no longer yield crops for you. You'll be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land. I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd open up your word today. Lord, I look at what I've prepared, and Lord, we do not need to know what I've prepared. The truth is, we need to hear from you, and that you would speak to us today. So, Father, I pray that you'd speak, send your Holy Spirit to anoint me to do the work of your ministry, that people would see you and hear what you would have to say to each one. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So you have Adam and Eve, and you have Cain and Abel, and they were growing up. And Cain must have been like following after daddy all the time. Because the scripture says Adam's job was to tend the garden, wasn't it not? That was his purpose. And so Adam would go out and plant and take care of the trees and all those types of things. And little Cain would come along beside him, playing in the dirt and thinking that he was in the time of his life, playing with dad. I don't know what Abel did, but there was a time, we don't know the difference in age either. But the scripture says that Cain liked to grow. He worked in the garden. He likes to grow things. And I was thinking about this. Okay, you have Cain burn forest and he's hanging out with dad. And then Abel, when he was born, he liked to hang out with the animals, playing with the animals, hugging on them, playing with the sheep, and just hanging out, doing the sheep. And then I was thinking about this. I'm here like, okay, do you remember what the first sacrifice was in the Bible? And actually, I should tell you, I'm going to be working on the altar is the name of this series. So each month we'll learn about the altar. And so we're going to learn something about the altar today. But the very first sacrifice was God killing animals to give Adam and Eve clothes. That's the first sacrifice in the scriptures, a blood sacrifice. It's not, but I'm talking about the offerings we give to God. And this is the very first response that we have from people giving to God an offering. So where was I? Okay. Oh, yeah, Cain and Abel. So Abel's playing with sheep, and they're growing up together. And I'm wondering if Cain and Abel, you know, the world says that we are basically born what? That's not what the world says, right? The world says we're basically born what? Good. I have not found any proof of that. I have six kids. And you would think out of six kids, one of them, if they were born good, that I would have kids. I mean, I would think one out of six would be born good if at least that's what people say, right? Now, you guys know the Bible answer. The Bible's answer is that we are born what? Sinners. And guess what? That's been proved over and over again with every birth and every kid. So I'm thinking about Adam and Eve. I'm thinking about Cain and Abel. And I'm thinking, huh, I wonder if Abel ran up, punched his brother, and ran to mommy saying, "Hey!" I wonder if Cain, you know, his little brother's learning to walk. That's so funny. You guys say, that's not in the Bible. That's right. But I want you to understand that there is tension between Cain and Abel, and it didn't happen on one day that Cain showed up and offered a sacrifice. Offered an offering to God, and all of a sudden there was bitter feelings that happened that one time. No, it grew up with him all the way through. Think about some of the problems that you have with your brothers and sisters, and think about all the things you have done and all the things they have done, and you have a whole list of things, and you and the Lord's saying, you need Jesus. You need forgiveness. You need grace. And my Bible tells me that they grew up. And then I'm like, huh, I wonder if Adam, because Cain hung out with him, kind of loved, this is hard, Cain a little bit more than he loved Abel. I wonder, as Eve saw that how much Cain was hanging out with Adam, kind of made up for what was lacking with that relationship and going back and forth. It's all conjecture, folks, but you don't go and kill your brother over nothing. How do we raise our kids? You have to disciple them. You have to love them. You have to love them all equally. I remember when I was at Oakdale, a student came up and a girl from the volleyball team came up and said, hey, Mr. Wills, do you love your girl? Do you like raising girls better or boys better? And sarcastic coach says what? Boys. And guess what? If the boys came and asked the same question, what would I say? Yeah, you know, but for a dad, there's no way to compare the love for them. You just love them. And that's the way God loves us. He loves the guys and the girls all the same. So as we move on in the scriptures, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought some fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. In the course of time. Interesting choice of words. Yes, I move around. I make her life busy. In the choice of time, I just want you to I would like you to take one. Yeah, just take a fruit. Hopefully I have enough for everybody. I might not. But I want you to take a fruit. In the course of time, it says Cain brought God an offering of fruits. Yeah. Some of you guys are looking strange at my fruit. I actually grabbed this out of my refrigerator this morning. Look, my wife is hiding. You might want a picture of that one over there. I don't have enough. Just grab. You can get rid of it on your way out. I will put this thing on the back. Yeah, in the course of time, it says that Cain brought an offering. Yeah, you don't want to go last, do you? But all of this is proving my point. In the course of time, Cain brought an offering of fruit. Now, as a parent, I'm jumping up and down. Cain remembers to give thanks. Woo! I did something right. Adam and Eve are jumping up and down and saying, I did good. My kids are giving an offering to God. Woo! I got excited. You know how I know? I got, when the treasurer gave me the, at the end of the year, how much money you've given to the church, I got one for my daughter. And I'm like, ooh, I didn't know that. Jumping up and down. And you know what? Cain was thinking he's doing pretty good. He was the first one that gave an offering that's recorded in Scripture. It says in the course of time, Cain brought an offering. He's saying, Lord God, I am so thankful that you're here. That you bless me and I have. And he went in and it says that he gave fruit, right? There's no other adjectives. It doesn't say first fruits. It doesn't say the best fruits. It just said he gave what? Some fruit. And you see, he must go to my house. Because when we go and there's food and there's steak, we all want the biggest and best. Or is it just me? You know, when I was passing out the fruit, some of them were not that great, were they? Right? You're like, Pastor, what are you giving me? And you just wanted, no, thank you. I just leave it there. I don't want it. No, thank you. And guess what? God was doing the same thing to Cain. Now, we need to ask why. Because I'm thinking, Cain thinking, I'm doing pretty good. I've paid my bills. I've done this. I've done that. And I'm giving God the leftovers. I'm giving God in the course of time. He already had the best. He already gave the best. He's already done all those types of things. He's already had his choice. That was a good apple. That was a great kiwi. That was a great banana. Oh, that he already ate the best himself. And then he goes, oh, you know what? I know I did, went out and I plowed the field. I know that I planted the seeds. I know that I weeded the garden. I did all these types of things. I did a whole lot of work. God did send some rain. God did provide the sunshine for my plants to grow up. Oh, I think I need to say thank you, God. Giving God from our leftovers. Let me tell you what happened this week. I get paid every 2 weeks. It's automatically thrown into the bank account. And then what I try to do is write my first check. Very first thing that comes out, I want to give it to the Lord. But my wife grabbed the checkbook while I was doing that. And she wrote out a check to Butler Lacrosse Association. And she was going to send my first fruits there. And I'm here like, that's God's, not yours. Because how do you know what the first fruit is? The first fruit is the very first that leave your hand after you get it. Right? Does that make sense? So if you want to know what the tithe is, the tithe is the first 10% that leaves your checkbook after you get paid, or the very first. That's the tithe. If you want to give God the first fruit, and if you really want to give God the tithe, it comes off the top. And I was talking to Pastor about this yesterday, and I thought he said something really profound. He says, if you give God the first 10%, you don't have to worry about the bottom 10. So if you're worrying at the end of the month why you're not making your bills and all those types of things, check what you're doing with the first 10, the first fruits, because it tells you about your heart. Who's first place in your heart? Who's first? Is it the Lord or is it you? Or is it your kids? Is it your mortgage? Is it your house? Is it your boat? Is it your car? It tells you what's first place. Does that make sense? You see, God is first. God is preeminent. God is first overall. That's why he could not accept. If he accepted Cain's gift, he said, it's okay for me to be second. Or I don't know where that in the course of time that some fruit came from. It may be, it's okay for God to be last. And God says, uh-uh. I don't take second. I don't take third. I don't take 100th. I only take one place, and that place is first place in our hearts and our minds. Does that make sense? Are you catching? I was so excited that Cain was offering an offering. I was jumping up and down. And you know what? That's what we feel like when we give God some stuff in our lives. We give God, we've gave this to this. We gave to this mission fund. We gave this and this and this. But where is it coming from? Does that make sense? Because look at what's accepted. Where's my Bible? Oh, there it is. Look at the scriptures. Verse 4. But Abel brought the fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering he did not look. So what did Abel offer? Two sheep had a lamb. And the very first one, and it's like, oh, man, that's kind of like getting that, you know, when you go to restaurants and they hang that first dollar that they made up on the wall and those types of things. I would say, I think I would hang up my 11th dollar. Because the Bible says, bring the tithe. He doesn't say give the tithe. It says bring. It's an order. It's not giving. The tithe is the Lord. Actually, the truth is, some of you will say, I know the New Testament. Everything belongs to God. That's true. But God set apart the tithe for his house, for the care of his house and for the care of his priests, for the care of those things. And Abel took his very first lamb and he slew it and sacrificed it on an altar to the Lord his God and saying, God, you're first in my life. Man, I worked awful hard, but that first one is gone. The firstborn is what Abel gave. And it says that the Lord looked on and approved. Some of you are wondering why God isn't noticing you. You're saying, I'm giving, I'm doing well, and I don't feel this closeness with Jesus. I don't feel this closeness with God. And it may be because you're giving God the leftovers rather than the first fruits. Just like some of you felt when I gave you that fruit from my refrigerator. Thank you, Pastor, but no thank you. That's really what's in my refrigerator this morning. I'm just telling you the facts. I'm just telling you. Now, the truth is we've had pears, we've had different apples, and we've had bananas. I went looking for them. They were, oh, God. When you have 8 people in the house and teenagers and everything, they just disappear. But did you notice what didn't disappear? Did you see what didn't disappear? I did. And you know what? If Dad's not fast enough, this is what Dad eats regularly. If you want to know what I'm eating, what's in your hands is what I'm eating because the other kids, it's all gone. It's like, and sometimes I don't act very Christ-like. I get frustrated. I'm here like, I knew there was a banana and I didn't get one. Oh, I knew there was something. I didn't get one. I'm just not fast enough to the draw. I'm not quick enough. And sometimes I get frustrated and a little bent out of shape because I'm here like, I think I went to work for that. But do you see from God's perspective, I'm thinking, oh, God's seeing it the way I'm seeing it. But I'm not like Christ because, you know, the truth is God loves Cain an awful lot. And guess what? God loves Abel an awful lot. And even though Cain feels rejected and downcast, that did not subtract God's love for them at all. I want you to hear that. Cain is loved very much by the Lord. He is the apple of God's eye. He's very special. Yes, he gave him from the leftovers and those types of things. But that did not stop God the Father from loving him. That did not stop Jesus from dying on the cross for him. That did nothing. God loves them an incredible amount. But from Cain's perspective, he feels downcast. He feels angry. Have you ever done something good and it just slaps you in the face? We have this saying, right? No good deed remains what? Unpunished. And that's how Cain's feeling right now. I've given God good stuff. I worked hard for that. I was out in the sun with that. I was out in the cold. I was out and I gave him stuff that was stuff. And God just shook his head and said, no, I'm not accepting second best. I'm not accepting your leftovers. So what does that mean for us? Well, we talked about once, you know, giving God out of the first of what comes in. But what about your devotion time? Do you give God the devotional time once you're all exhausted and tired and you're just, thank you, Jesus. Oh, help my family. Amen. Do we give God the best, or do we give him leftovers of our time, of our resources, of the things? Or are we so excited about hanging out with the Lord that we're giving him the top? And it may be that the reason why you don't feel as close to the Lord as you want is that we're really giving him the leftovers of our time, of our energy, of our strength, of our everything. Check the time. Okay, I think I'm done. As I said, I think I've said what the Lord wanted. Has the Lord spoken to anybody today? Because if he's spoken to you guys, I can be done. Because every hand goes up now. Okay. So true worship is putting God in his rightful place. Living and giving him our best. And he says this, Jesus is awesome. He said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. The thing is, we want all these things before we seek him first, before we follow him first, before we give him our best, before we give him our tithe. We want to make sure we have our needs met before we give God anything. And the Lord says, that's not how it happens. And you say, Pastor, do you know what you're talking about? Yeah, I do. When we give God the best, for lots of years, living with six kids, I made $14,000 for the last 11 years. My kids are fed. They were well taken care of. God provided in multiple ways, but there's an aspect of giving God first. You say, Pastor, you can't live on $14,000 and have a family of eight. Well, yeah, you can if you give God the first, if you keep him in the right place. Does that make sense? When you keep him first, God will take care of the rest. It's when we take care of the rest that we get in trouble with the first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I want to put you first in my heart and my mind. And Lord, sometimes, Father, I failed so miserably this week. Because really, I put myself first above my kids. Sometimes I put myself first above my wife. And Lord, if I'm putting myself first above them, I'm obviously putting myself first above you. So Lord, I ask you to forgive me for the times that I've given you second best, that I've rolled in and had so much to do, even ministry to do, to go visit somebody, to go prepare for this class or that class. And Lord, I just given you the leftovers of the day. So Father, I pray that you would forgive me. Because, Lord, I want to give you my best. I want to give you what you deserve. Because, Lord, you've given me breath. You've given me health. You've given me the ability to walk and talk and hear and to be. Lord, we just love you and we thank you for what you're going to do. So, Father, I pray that you would accept from our hands what we have today. But next week, Lord, and we'll give you our best. Where we have fallen short, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. You died on the cross for our sins, for our mistakes. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive those places where we have given you leftovers. Lord, we get so busy. We have work, we have jobs, we get moving. And Lord, sometimes when we come home from work, we're exhausted and we're tired. But Lord, you still have work for us to do, to love on our families, to love our spouse, to love you. Lord, I shouldn't call it work. I guess life. So Father, be with us as we leave this place. May your Holy Spirit lead us, guide us, and fill us so that we can accomplish, that we can seek your kingdom first. And all these things will be added unto us as well. In Christ's name, amen.